Thank you for joining me for today's weekly COVID-19 update. I'm delighted to be joined by Dr. Dillahay. Dr. Romero has another obligation. And then I have Secretary Johnny Key to answer any questions in reference to education. And of course, Colonel Rob Ader, who is our program manager for vaccine distribution. Before I go into our report on discussion on vaccines and our case report for today, I did want to make a comment on the unemployment numbers that were released today. And as you know, our unemployment was reduced from 6.3% in November to 4.2% in December. This is a drop of 2.1%, which we're obviously very pleased with. And I wanted to put it in historic perspective. And so, as you know, in March, when the pandemic started, we were about 5%, and that was after we had had to make some tough decisions here in the state. It jumped to 10.8%. Each month it's come down. Then we've had this dramatic decrease in December, and this reflects that we have 65,000 more Arkansans employed. It means that we have 26,600 fewer unemployed. And of course, the difference is that our workforce has grown by 38,000. And so that's what happens during a pandemic. Some people drop out of the workforce and now they're coming back into the workforce. And so we're not only having low unemployment numbers, but we're having a growth in the workforce. We hope that pattern continues. But I think it reflects the balance that we've tried to achieve in keeping our economy moving and people employed, and as well as keeping them healthy and safe. Let me make some points in reference to the vaccine. First of all, we are making progress every day in terms of our vaccine distribution and getting into the arms of Arkansans. I want to applaud our Department of Health, their team, working together closely with the providers that include hospitals and pharmacies. According to the New York Times, and that's the source, they print it every day based upon CDC information. They compare the states as to how they're doing on vaccine distribution. Of the 50 states, Arkansas is ranked number 10 in percent of the population vaccinated at 6.5%. And so that's one indication that we're making progress, and we want to improve that every day. It's challenging, but we can do better, and we want to continue to do that because it saves lives. Last week, when we received our supply of new first-time doses of the vaccine, of 92% of the supply coming into the state was in the arms of Arkansans within 48 hours. And that is first dose, getting in the arms very quickly. And it's important to note that we do have our second dose allocation. And so, as you'll see later on, this week we've received about 72,000 doses. But of those, only 37,125 are first dose. The rest are second dose. And this should give people confidence that once you're in the system of having received your first vaccine, the second dose will be there for you, because that's the basis of the emergency use authorization by the FDA, that it's a two-dose regimen that we want to accomplish. We are constrained by supply. We can only get it out into the arms of Arkansans based upon the supply that we get from the manufacturer that's controlled by the federal government that allocates it out to the states. And we've had a consistent supply thus far, but it has not been increasing each week. Yesterday, I had a personal call with Jeff Zients, who is the director of the Biden Administration Coronavirus Task Force. I discussed this issue with him as to when we can expect an increase in supply. He is hopeful and optimistic that there will be some news in that regard. I'll be leaving this conference a little bit early today at 2 o'clock, because I will have a call with the National Governors Association and the Biden Coronavirus Task Force, in which I expect to receive some news about what is the future weeks like in terms of vaccine distribution to Arkansas. But we are constrained by supply. We get it out as soon as we can. Colonel Ader is trying to do more in terms of long-term planning because we know the pharmacies, hospitals need to make plans for the clinics that they want to have, the mass distribution points, how they can schedule the 70-plus and other schools. And so we're a little bit limited again because we have to know what's coming in order to do that long-range planning. And so, but we're working hard to make sure the providers get the information as early as possible. As we make decisions on distribution within Arkansas, it would be easy and efficient if we simply had one mass distribution event or multiple across the state and everybody just get in line. But if we did that, we'd run out by 9 a.m. And so you have to balance efficiency in getting the vaccine out with equity. And the equity is making sure it is distributed in all parts of the state, in the rural areas of the state, and not just concentrating on the urban centers or where you can efficiently distribute it very quickly. And so we're balancing those two. And so sometimes we have to make sure that if there's an area that's been neglected, the next week they get additional vaccines so that everybody has an equal opportunity to participate in a limited supply of the vaccine. I've emphasized that the second dose is separate. And then finally, I encourage all Arkansans to be patient during this. You have been. We're wanting to make sure that you get access to it when it's your turn. And we'll do everything we can to make sure that it's fairly distributed across the state. With that, let's go to the case report. Today, we've had a little bit of an uptick. We have new cases are 2,485 that are up from a week ago, which I like to compare it to. Our testing is robust with over 10,000 tests, which is a little bit higher than last week, but we still have a larger number of total cases, new cases, within the last 24 hours than we wished for. We hope tomorrow is better news in that front. In terms of the hospitalizations on the right, we have 11 additional hospitalizations, and we have 11 fewer on ventilators. I had in our winter COVID task force today, had a report from the hospitals, and their margin is better than it has been because of the last week we've had a reduction in hospitalizations. It gives them a little more room to function and operate, and that's pretty much in all areas of the state. But we want to keep that going down instead of going up. In terms of our deaths, very sadly, we have 40 additional deaths, and we're anxious as we reduce our new cases that those numbers hopefully will be going down in the coming weeks. But it all depends upon us doing our compliance, making sure we follow the public health guidelines so we can reduce those new cases that might come into our system. Just so we'll go to the next one, you can see the trend line. The trend line is down. We want to keep it going that direction. The next one is the 7-day rolling average of positivity. And this is probably the best news, is that you can see our positivity rate was up to close to 20%. And this is combined PCR and antigen. And the antigen is always higher, so you combine those two. And even with a combined PCR and antigen, we're starting to move down on the positivity rate. The tail end of that obviously will go up a little bit, but we're making progress, and that's the key thing. Next, this goes to our vaccination program. And as you can see that on the top left, you have the doses received, 410,000 all total in Arkansas, and we, in the last 24 hours, we've received 72,000 doses. Now that sounds double the number, and it is, of what we ordinarily receive. Of that, we have to remember that this includes the second dose, and so we have about 37,000 that's first dose, The rest is the second dose, and that gives people confidence. But that is where the inventory is in Arkansas. If we're not getting them all out, it'll take time to schedule that second dose. We have to wait for the right time. We did have 12,000 that have been given out in the last 24 hours, so that's good news. 55% on those on our state program of vaccination. On our federal program, this one takes a lot of explanation because this is not something we control. It's a federal contract with CVS and Walgreens. They received 49,400. Now, it shows that only 7,000 doses have given. I know that it's they have completed, or they will complete this week, their obligation with our long-term care facilities that are assigned to them. And we have asked of that allocation that has been delivered to CVS and to Walgreens pharmacies this week, and they will be vaccinating 70 plus. And I know that in the last 24 hours, I think it's 2,500 that have been vaccinated at Walgreens. So that number we expect to improve and get much better. We're currently in phase 1B. Arkansans 70 and older and our education workers, including K through 12 and child care. And so with that, let me ask first Dr. Dillahay to come and to talk about the vaccines more, and then followed by Secretary Key for a brief education report.
Thank you, Governor. I'd like to say a few words about the COVID-19 vaccines that are available in Arkansas. We have two brands, one made by Pfizer and one made by Moderna. I want to emphasize that these vaccines are safe and they work. We know from the studies that the pharmaceutical companies conducted that the vaccines are either 94 or 95% effective in completely preventing people from getting COVID-19. The people who have gotten COVID-19 during the studies, the 5 or 6%, had mild disease. So these vaccines were shown to be 100% in preventing severe disease. That is very important for us as Arkansans to know, so that we can have confidence that these vaccines will work. The safety studies that were done on these vaccines were complete safety studies. There were no shortcuts and there were no steps that were skipped. Even though the vaccines were developed quickly through other strategies to bring the vaccines to market rapidly, no safety studies were left out. The steps were all completed and they were shown to be very safe. And I also want to add that people who get vaccinated, it's very important for them to know at this point in time, it's still recommended that people who are fully vaccinated continue to wear their masks and they continue to social distance when they're out in public with people who are not from their household, to avoid crowds and to wash their hands often. This is going to be especially important because our rates in our state are coming down for new cases. We don't want that to go up, but we're also learning about other variant strains that are circulating around the world, one from South Africa, one from the United Kingdom, and also one from Brazil. And we could very well have those strains in Arkansas. And if that is the case, if we're able to demonstrate that, these strains are more infectious, and we want to make sure that we do not give them an opportunity to spread in Arkansas. So the two ways of preventing that spread will be, one, get vaccinated when it's your turn, and two, continue with these measures of wearing masks, social distancing, avoiding crowds, and wash your hands often. Thank you.
Right now, our students all across Arkansas are in the middle of a number of winter sports and activity seasons, some of those including basketball, swimming and diving, and wrestling. These are very important to our students, and as we saw last spring, very disappointing when we had to close down the basketball tournaments because of the outbreak of COVID. And with the positive news that we have been getting and the positive trends we are seeing, it could be easy to get a little lax in following our precautions. One thing we must do, and I encourage our school districts and their patrons who attend these events, please continue wearing your mask, please continue to watch your distance, please continue to follow all of the health guidelines. It's very important that if your students, and this isn't just high school, this goes all the way down into junior high, middle school, and peewee levels, for school and community sponsored events, please do not let up, because we are seeing positive trends, but we cannot take that for granted, and we want our students to have a full access to all of their activities throughout the rest of this school year. So it's very important that we stay on guard and follow those precautions. Thank you, Governor.
Thank you, Secretary Key. And with that, we'll take any questions.
How are the Walgreens numbers being factored into the numbers that you showed? Because it's still, you said there were 2,500, but then it only, is that being counted on the state numbers or the federal number, the federal program number?
No, those, can you put that slide back up there on the vaccine? And so you have the federal program, and so that's counted separately. So that's not counted in the numbers on the left, which is the state system. And so again, 49,400 has been allocated to them. Now, what you have to remember is that they have, this should include the second dose. And so that's part of the inventory. And then they have 3 days or to report the information, so there could be some lag there. But we know that they were over allocated, and so that's one of the reasons that they have that inventory. Colonel Ader has worked hard to, and they've been very cooperative, to get that back to the local CVS Walgreens stores so they can do the 70 plus. Did I answer your question?
Well, it sounds like maybe those numbers haven't been updated yet to reflect the 2,500 that Walgreens has.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. That's correct. We just know that by talking to them directly, and so you're right, that has not been updated for that. Thank you.
How is that going to be made available to the public?
So far with CVS, we're still working through the actual numbers, so we haven't really broken out the really hard pencil on that, but we expect to have 3,000 doses going into their system starting on Monday, so they're starting to schedule appointments at the CVS locations around the state. Based on the numbers of doses that CVS has in comparison to like Walgreens, which had quite a bit more, we're probably going to reduce the number of pharmacies that are actually going to be offering those. But once we have those pharmacies identified, we'll put it on the ADH website so that everyone can know where that's going, and then you can check on that and schedule your appointment.
Initially.
The thing that I think everyone needs to recognize is that number looks really, really bad. And granted, it was way over executed, but when they did the poll for the allocation, it was for first and second doses. So when we give a first dose, it's Moderna vaccine that was used for this program, we have to wait 28 days before we give the second dose. So there is a long lag there, but we're going to start seeing a rather large, uptick in that percentage of vaccine that's been provided.
Yes, ma'am.
On the PUA system and when it will be available for people to start filing claims again. Do you have any words you'd like to say to Arkansans that are struggling right now and they're not able to get that money or file a claim?
Well, we know that it's much needed. Even though our unemployment numbers go down, that's still have tens of thousands of Arkansans that are in need of that, and they need that extra assistance. And so we're having to reboot our system because there's a different amount that has to be applied to the unemployment compensation, and that's still in process. Secretary Preston, I'll try to have him here soon so that he can give a better timeline on that, but I know that's a work in progress. We want to get it done as soon as possible. Yes, ma'am.
Just to go back to the Walgreens and CVS numbers, I'm wondering if you have a figure of the percentage of staff in nursing homes and long-term care facilities that you were able to vaccinate and what that figure might mean moving forward.
Actually, we had a report on that in today's winter task force meeting, and so we do have that information, and I believe it's well over 90% of our nursing home facilities have had at least one clinic for vaccination. And so they're closing in on the few that have not, and then some are already into the second dose. And so it's been very successful. I don't have the number, the percent of acceptance in each nursing home, that level of detail, but I know that we have reached into about over 90% of our nursing homes with at least one vaccination clinic. Yeah, let's go remotely. Is there a question remotely?
Governor, good afternoon. Governor Blatter in Hot Springs. With regards to the White House call that's coming up, Politico reported just a little while ago that all the governors will be told that there'll be a 17% increase in doses next week. So it's a two-part question. If that number's right, is all 17% of that allocated to the health department, or is that split? And what's your confidence level in the ability to keep up with the 17% increase in terms of getting it into arms? Thank you.
Well, that will be welcome news. 17% increase will allow us to get more vaccinations into the arms of our Kansans. There's no doubt in my mind that we've got a team that can get that done. Whenever that, and of course, I'll wait for details on the call. But I expect that allocation to happen in the same way that our 37,000 allocation is happening now, which is that we direct where that is delivered, and we do that every week, and we determine what area of the state that it goes to and it's delivered there. So it should just be on top of what we have right now. But I want to wait and hear this as to whether it's going to be this week or the next week that that increase takes place. Next question.
Governor, this is Jay Jackson, THB11. Health experts outside the state are starting to say that wearing two masks are actually better than one because it adds an extra layer of protection. Is there some validity to that? Does it help stop the spread?
I think I could answer that, but I'm going to ask Dr. Dillahay to take that on.
So I have not seen reports indicating that two masks are better than one, but I do know that some masks are better than others. So for example, masks that have at least two layers of cloth are better than one. Masks that have valves in them should not be used because they focus the spread right at the person that you're talking to. So if you're talking to someone wearing a mask with a valve, you might want to stand behind them. And then the other thing that's important is that masks must be worn properly. They must completely cover the nose and the mouth and have a snug fit. If it doesn't work, if you wear the mask under your chin or under your nose, or if they're loose and don't block the aerosols or the spread of moisture that you give off when you talk or you laugh or you sing. Thank you.
Next Governor, question. This is Alex with Channel 7. I have a follow-up question regarding the PUA system. We've been getting dozens of calls from people who filed extensions in December and are being told that they have to wait until mid-February for the system to get updated. So what would you tell these people? How are they supposed to survive until February? And what do you tell these people who have no money for food or rent at this point?
Well, of course, we have a rental assistance program, we have food assistance program, so I would say that there is a contact that can be made to your community action agency to the food bank that we have put resources into. I expect more resources to go there. So we understand that there are some real compassionate needs that need to be met. In terms of the PUA system, I did want to add that there was a communication with a PUA update, and instructions were sent to all PUA claimants on Friday, January 22nd. And it's being provided by paper email or mail as well, trying to get them all the information that they need. If there's an individual who had a PUA claim prior to December 26th, they can continue to file their weekly claims, but the payments will not be released until the system upgrades are complete. If you're a new claimant and you filed a new PUA claim after December 26th, then the PUA system has to undergo the updates to accommodate those revisions and extensions. So there's a lot of information to provide there. The Department of Commerce and Workforce Services is communicating with them. I know they're working very hard to get this done as soon as possible because we know there is a need. Next question.
Governor, this is Veronica Ortega with 5 News. I know you mentioned that we do have our second dose allocation, but I'm wondering, because I have seen reports that there is some concern about shortage of doses nationwide. Is there any concern for those who have already received their first dose that they won't be able to get their second dose? And what happens to them if they're unable to get their second dose of the vaccine on time?
Well, the answer to the question is that we want them to have confidence that if you've got a first dose, then you're going to get the second dose, because that has been set aside for you to make sure that we can complete the two-dose regimen that is needed. And so you can see from the statistics that we provided that we received one category of first dose that we'll be getting out this week, but that which has been allocated for the second dose is set aside. And so they should have confidence that that inventory is there. Secondly, we're keeping track of everyone so that, you know, whenever they receive a vaccine, they will have an appointment for the second dose as well.
Governor, it's Brett Raines with 4029 News. Can you briefly talk about your reaction to the dismissal of the lawsuit by the club and bar owners? Do you anticipate extending your restrictions past February 3rd? And secondly, does the state currently have any confirmed cases of the new strains of the virus?
The answer to the last part of the question is that we do not have any confirmed cases of the new strain of the virus. That doesn't mean it's not here, but we have not had any confirmed tested cases at this point. We're continuing to do surveillance on that. In terms of the lawsuit, I'm glad that Judge Griffin made the decision that he did today, and consistently following the law on that. Obviously, I understand that the bar owners have challenged whenever you have a curfew at 11 p.m., but as you can see from the cases, that it's been necessary as to whether that will be extended beyond the current time frame in early February. That remains to be seen. We'll continue to watch that. One last question, maybe here at the table, if there's anybody.
I'm just wondering when you might be able to address that question about acceptance rates among staff and people living in nursing homes.
You know, we actually had a conversation. It's not just the acceptance rate in nursing homes, but there's an acceptance rate among the law enforcement community and first responders. What's the acceptance rate among teachers and staff? And we do not have that level of detail. And so hopefully we can do some compilations down the road, but we're trying to manage the data, and we just don't have that. And we don't, that's not a number that we have readily that we can compute. It's sort of a survey of each institution, because each institution is going to be different in terms of their acceptance rate. And so it's only anecdotal information we have right now. Thank you for your understanding of having to call this a little bit short today. And we will have an update next week on our PUA. I'll certainly have Secretary of Commerce here so we can go into that in more detail. And in the meantime, I'll want to go and find out about the announcement that we've already heard from our good colleagues today. Thank you.